From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight. Well, we are still taking a look back at 2025, and we're still checking in with our news partners, but this evening, we're going to recap 50 years of local news, not just one, because 2025 marked the half-centennial of the River Reporter newspaper. Late in December, I talked to the person who's been at the helm of the River Reporter for 47 of those 50 years. Reverend Lori Stewart, publisher of the River Reporter, owner of Stewart Communications. Lori, welcome back to Radio Catskill.
Oh, thank you, Jason. It's lovely to be here.
Well, and congratulations on a half century of publication.
I know. That is such an amazing thing. It really is.
How have you been feeling about it this year?
Well, it really is a milestone for the River Reporter. 50 years of independent journalism, and I actually am celebrating my 47th year at the paper. So I've kind of been here for a while.
You've been there close to the beginning. I wanted to start off by talking about the beginning and how the paper, you know, was founded and got started. And I think people that have been around a while might know this story, but some folks listening might not. As I understand it, the starting of the River Reporter was also connected to the starting of the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance as well, right?
Yes, it was. The River Reporter was founded by De Gaetani. And Tom De Gaetani was the first managing director of Lincoln Center. He was on the School of Juilliard, UNESCO consultant, really high-powered art consultant in New York City. And he suffered a heart attack at the age of 49. And his doctor said, get out of town. And Tom had an A-frame along the river on Crawford Road in the town of Tustin, just south of the hamlet of Knaresburg. And so he and his partner, soon-to-be wife, Elaine Jaguer, moved from New York City to Crawford Road. And Tom had this idea he was going to bait business on the river. But what was going on in Tustin and in Narrowsburg is that there was a group of community members that were celebrating the bicentennial of the United States and having a play. I believe it was Our Town. And Tom got involved. He met a group of people who were lamenting that the letterpress paper that was published in Narrowsburg had been sold. It was bought by John Dyson, who was the publisher of the Holly Eagle, and he wanted to keep both papers going. But he was in a terrible accident on his way from, you know, publishing the Delaware Valley News in Narrowsburg on 652 as he was going home. And he realized that he really couldn't keep both papers alive. So what he did is he combined them. So the Holly Eagle became the Holly News Eagle, the news part being the Delaware Valley News. People in Narrowsburg, in Tustin, were not happy about this. They had always had a paper. In fact, there was lots and lots and lots of papers in most of the towns in Sullivan County. It was part of a print shop thing. You had a print shop to print stuff, and you had papers. But so in 1974, the paper moved to Holly, and so folks were organizing. Narrowsburg's foremothers and forefathers were saying, "This is not okay. We need our own paper." So they were having discussions around kitchen table about how they were going to do that. Tom arrives at the play, and he hears these people talking about how they wanted to start a newspaper. Tom always had it in his mind that if you started an arts service organization, that you could build an arts economy in what might be called the middle of nowhere, right? So he had in his mind that he wanted to start an arts service organization. And he thought, oh, no problem. I'll start a newspaper. And then I can use that newspaper to publicize my art center that I want to build. And so he started the newspaper in 1975. And in fact, the first issue came out December 3rd, 1975. And then he started the Arts Alliance in 1976. And the Arts Alliance really was an arts service organization, panels for writers, for opera, for Delaware, for, you know, chamber orchestras, for that kind of thing, supporting artists. And all of that came true, except that he did not change his lifestyle at all. And he actually died of a heart attack on February 10th, 1978. So Elaine Jaguer, his wife, kept the Arts Alliance going. And at the time, I was familiar with Narrowsburg because I was a YMCA camp counselor and used to lead canoe trips. They would drop me with, you know, eight girls and a junior counselor, of course, and pick me up 5 days later, like in Milford. So that's how I was familiar. I am a singer-songwriter. Artist woman, wanted to publish small art books, met Tom in December of 77. That was my I was graduating in 78, so it was my senior year in college. And he got me he made up this idea that I should work in the print shop that was in Delaware Publications. Like, so the newspaper moved, but there was still a print shop here in Narrowsburg. So I worked in the print shop, and I auditioned for him being a singer-songwriter, and my partner, Glenn Pontier, also was a storyteller. So Tom booked us to play at Harmony Hall at the Western Hotel in February of 78, and meanwhile, it was about a week after he had died. So Glenn had some experience working, had a column in a newspaper in Sussex County, New Jersey. And so Tom immediately made Glenn the assistant editor, showed him around the county for a month and said, listen, you know, one mind can understand, you know, all the different things that are going on. And then, a month later died. So there we were. Paper came out every other week. It was 8 pages long, and we just started doing it.
Wow, and you're
that's
and
the
you're,
history of the that's the history
and,
of the paper.
And you're still doing it, you know.
And I am still doing it. Yes.
Wow, 47 years later.
Yes. Yes.
And are you still in the same building?
Well, when we first, initially, the paper and the Arts Alliance were in the same building. We were in the Anderson Building on Main Street in Narrowsburg. And then the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance bought the Arlington Hotel, the building that they're in now. We kind of moved with them. And after several years, we got our own storefront on Main Street in 2001. And I was working in the print shop then. George Krause had purchased it, and I was working in the print shop with him. And then George was looking to retire, and this particular building that we are in now, which is the original Delaware Publications building. The newspaper is back in the original newspaper building. And I and my husband were able to buy it in 2001. So we bought it in 2001, did some renovations, insulating the building, that kind of thing, and moved the paper down here.
If you could just tell us real quick about there's a little bit of a bump, a little bit of a rise in the floor there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this was the original print shop, and there was a letterpress press that, you know, now everything is offset, but this was definitely a letterpress shop, linotype and all that kind of stuff. And so the original part of the building was built in 1898, and then they extended it in the 40s. And in order to install the press, they had to pour a concrete slab that was, you know, on the first floor, but went all the way down to the basement. So that when we renovated, in order to put down a new floor, we had to build a little lip over the concrete. So there's a little lip in the floor covering the big slab of concrete that goes all the way to the basement, because the building is has beams, and the beams would not have held that letterpress press.
I love that, because even though in the modern era you don't have to, you know, put ink on to physical materials and actually press the letters to print things anymore, but it's still literally part of your foundation. It literally goes down to your roots there.
Oh, it does. It does. And it's really interesting, because my office now is where the Linotype machine was. And George worked for the Republican Watchman. The Republican Watchman was one of the last independent newspapers that that existed in Sullivan County besides the Sullivan County Democrat. And he worked at the Watchman for a while. And I was here in this print shop by myself, like, setting type on the Linotype machine. And it really is amazing. I have all my fingers because, you know, it's hot lead, and it's very interesting. But it's cool that, you know, where I sat on that Linotype machine is where I sit now. So at any rate.
Lori, with spending, you know, almost 47 years, you're sitting in the same place, in the same town, doing a similar sort of work, you know, documenting the life of a town, of a river corridor, of a region. What have you seen? What's changed in that time? What hasn't changed? What have you seen from there?
Well, that's an interesting question. In one sense, the biggest change has happened fairly recently. In that, when I moved to Narrowsburg in 1978, it was pretty depressed. The railroad, so there used to be passenger line, you know, that ran from New York all the way up, you know, to probably Hancock, right, and then goes on to Deposit, and the rail line is still there, but it's a freight line now and not a passenger rail. So, and the railroad, the passenger rail, ended in 1964. So when I moved here in 1978, it was fairly depressed. I mean, this area, I mean, the county is very interesting in that the western end of the county was, you know, more about, historically, about natural resources, about mining bluestone, about the tanning industry, about hunting and fishing. And there were numerous boarding houses that people, you know, families would come up and spend the summer. There were taxis. There was, you know, it was a real up-and-coming area. And it was, it was a very popular area, you know, since its beginning. But then when the rail line went away and airline travel came in right at that point, so instead of coming up to the upper Delaware, you could fly to Disneyland, right? So by 78, it was depressed. Yeah, and not as vibrant as it had been, you know, through the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. So I used to tell people that you could move here and rent was low, jobs were not well paid. But I would tell people that if you don't have debt, you can move here. You can move here. And we kind of proved it. I mean, the River Reporter paid us $25 every other week to put the paper out. So everybody was poor, right? It was a very, very rural, traditional lifestyle. But with the pandemic, that changed a lot. I mean, there's been different times where there's been like kind of this moving demographic, but in the pandemic, that I think in my estimation, that was the first time that there was a real switch between kind of everybody kind of, you know, having a pretty meager kind of rural lifestyle to the idea that now you have people who literally make three times as much as a person working locally. you know, and so there was a very big, 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 big switch that happened, you know, starting 2020. And, you know, and we're working our way through that. You know, we're working our way through that. But so there's a certain gentrification that happened following the pandemic that, you know, that we deal with today.
We're talking to the Reverend Lori Stewart, publisher of The River Reporter. And we're looking back on 50 years of The River Reporter. Yeah, it was a real sea change with the pandemic. And if you've got people that are making three times as much as the average folks, then the average folks, you know, it's going to be at least three times as difficult for them to find places to stay. And we've been documenting this housing crisis right along, even members of the real estate industry in our area noting on it as it was happening, coming out of the pandemic, saying, hey, you know, like the prices are going up and up and up. So it definitely was a major change for our area in recent years.
And that really actually speaks to my, you know, as publisher, you know, mission, vocation, you know, with the paper. Interestingly enough, you did introduce me as the Reverend Lori Stewart. It was funny, you know, for a long time, 27 years, in fact, I sometimes would just be kind of pounding my head against the wall going, what is a singer-songwriter doing running a newspaper? No, like, what is that? I was my co-editor of my high school newspaper, actually, with Alan Nairn. Of Democracy Now! Fame. At any rate, I realized after 27 years that this was a community ministry for me. Like, and I'm not. I now am an ordained Unitarian Universalist minister. But I tell people I'm not particularly selling God. I'm selling community, and I'm selling communication. Selling meaning advocating for. So I'm very focused on trying to create a platform that really kind of reflects, you know, a sense of place and a sense of place that is inclusive. You know, that realistically looks at what's going on here, because, oh, by the way, what's going on here is not, you know, very specific to this area. It's specific to our, you know, our whole country, really. Lack of housing, economic inequality, all that different culture, all that kind of stuff. So the River Reporter has spent a lot of its history. I mean, we can talk about significant stories, but we can also talk about the civic journalism that the River Reporter has done for holding space for a variety of people to really talk civilly and constructively about, you know, like how we can maneuver through with this idea of no villains. There's no villains. You know, the folks moving in, starting new places, businesses, they are fulfilling their life dreams. They're not trying, you know, that's what they're doing. And we all need to kind of understand that and figure out how we all like have a place and a voice and, you know, a common square. And, you know, figure out how we can all get through together. You know, there's a lot of talk about all boats float, but that takes a lot of dialogue, and it takes a lot of taking a look at, you know, the real elements, kind of finding common threads and finding out how we can all work together. And the River Reporter for decades actually had a visioning the Upper Delaware committee. It morphed through the years, and it ended up as the Upper Delaware River Roundtable, where stakeholders from all different, you know, organizations would just get together in a room and communicate what they were doing. And out of that process came an enormous amount of collaboration. The other thing that's really very unique about the River Reporter is that we have always been committed, very purposely, to be the Upper Delaware River Valley's newspaper. And so we have circulation on the New York side and coverage on the New York side and on the Pennsylvania side. So we So the first thing that we did, and this was initiated by Tom Kane following a New York Press Association spring convention, is that we hosted a conference called Visioning the Upper Delaware, and the point of that conference was to bring stakeholders from both sides of the river together in a room. So the hospital administrator over from Wayne Memorial was in the same room as the then, you know, community general administrator, school folks, legislators, planning people. And out of that came this committee of bi-state people talking to each other. And we held all sorts of public, you know, events. We had potlucks across the bridges. And what we really were trying to do is to help the Upper Delaware River Valley, like, have a common identity as a region, really connecting people across the bridges and across that border. And there was a lot of really neat collaboration that came out of it, specifically coming from the National Park Service and the planning departments of the three counties, Sullivan, Wayne, and Pike. They formed a regional GIS committee where they were sharing data so that that it wasn't just this island over here, you know, of Sullivan County, but it was actually like they knew what was going on in Wayne County. They knew what was going on in Pike County, and they were all helping each other. So it really is amazing how much can be done when you are just taking a look at, you know, what do we have in common? You know, how can we work together?
Yeah.
How can we leverage, you know, each of our activities?
And what that also does, though, that enables people to stand together and be able to say, hey, we are here. This is who we are. This is where we are. And that's important when you're interacting with the wider world because, you know, as you're indicating there, and what I've seen as somebody who grew up in Sullivan County is traditionally a place that is an island. It's not quite the Hudson Valley, but it'll get lumped in with the Hudson Valley. It needs to. It's not the southern tier, but sometimes, you know, the western parts of the county connect a bit with more of the Binghamton area. You know, it's on the southern end of the Catskills. It's in between. It's an in-between space. So the work that you've put in to enhance community in this way is very important, and I'm grateful for it because it gives us that identity, because without identity, it's hard to, you know, stake your claim and get what people need.
Right, absolutely. And it is interesting, too. You can muse about, like, marketing campaigns, but, you know, so it's the meeting of the Catskills and the Poconos, and what a unique meeting that is, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. And a river runs through it.
And the river runs through it. This gorgeous landscape, you know, and it's a globally significant environmental landscape. It's amazing.
We're gonna have to start wrapping up, Lori. But before we do, I've noticed that, you know, in honor of the 50th anniversary of the River Reporter, you've been pulling out every once in a while like some articles from the past. Let people know that they're up at riverreporter.com. Is there any other observances like that are still to come?
Yes, and actually, we're going to be partnering with the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance as they, like, officially celebrate their 50th anniversary next year. We've got some collaborations going because our organizations are so totally, you know, they're very linked, you know, in our beginnings and in one sense with our missions to create a community. I think the one thing that I really would like to say is that it really, really, really is important for folks to really support independent and local media right now. You know, Radio Catskill, Sullivan County Democrat, The River Reporter. We all serve like a different as a different cog in the same wheel. And it's really, really important. Sense of place and the locality is going to continue to be more and more and more important. And, you know, really taking care of our youth, making sure that they feel empowered, making sure that they have a voice. The River Reporter does publish youth pages every month. And I mean, I could talk on and on and on, but I do appreciate this opportunity to talk about the River Reporter and in one sense to celebrate it. I will say that the River Reporter has had has won 252 awards over the years, but also has employed over 200 people through the years, and it is the people, the readers, the columnists, the advertisers, everyone all together is, you know, in one sense helps the heartbeat of the River Reporter. And I am like really, really thankful for all of that support. And, you know, as times kind of get a little tight, more and more and more people do are letting us know that, you know, they think that the paper is, you know, very important. And I really love the idea that the paper exists beyond the people that kind of do it. You know, it really is a community entity. It isn't a community asset. And as that, you know, really, really needs support from the community.
Last thing before we go, another thing that happens around this time of year is we wrap up one year and start the next year. I know the River Reporter likes facilitating the community, informing itself of the best things in the community, and that's your Reader's Choice Award. Do you just want to give people a quick reminder of when and how that happens?
Yes. Once a year, we publish a form online and for the best, and readers weigh in. What is your favorite, you know, diner? What's your favorite place that serves the best French fries? And we are wrapping up our contest on December 31st, and we encourage all people to go to our website and www.riverreporter and vote for the best. There's a static ad at the top, and you can press on that and tell us your favorites. We like to do this because it really holds up the idea that locally we provide services, we being the community, services, food, you know, anything you can think of. And it's just really important for all of those local businesses to be celebrated for the fine work and services, goods that they provide. So it's something that readers weigh in. We really listen to our readers and are always soliciting feedback. And this is a way for people to, in one sense, support the businesses and organizations that, you know, really support the community.
Well, I congratulate you again on 50 years and thank you so much for talking to us. The River Reporter is up now and always at riverreporter.com. And we've been talking to the Reverend Lori Stewart, publisher of The River Reporter. Lori, thank you one more time.
Oh, thank you.
And thanks and congratulations one more time to Lori Stewart and the entire team at The River Reporter. Everybody is there now. Everybody that's been there over the last half century. Keep an ear out on Radio Chatskill with Tim Bruno weekday mornings at 10 when he checks in with Leah Mayo of The River Reporter for the latest news. For now, that's it for the local edition. I'm Jason Dole. I hope you have a great night. I hope you have a great weekend. Happy New Year to you one more time. Stay with us. We got more news coming right up from The Daily. This is Radio Catskill.
Support comes from The Furniture Restore, located on Main Street in Jeffersonville, specializing in antique and vintage furniture, rugs, art, and lighting, because buying well-made and pre-owned is a better choice for the planet. Online at therestorejayville.com.
Sign up for Radio Catskill's free weekly newsletter. Get the latest local news, culture, and things to do in your inbox every Friday. Stay connected and informed with Radio Catskill's newsletter. Subscribe at WJFFradio.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville, this is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.